That's what the scripture tells us, that it's the bride of Christ. And I want to point out something interesting about the wedding. Amen? We see that Jesus was invited to a wedding, right? And he tells many parables about a wedding. Matthew 22, verse 4, he says, "Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." Amen. You know, we've been told so many parables, like the foolish virgins and so many other parables about the coming of the Lord. And we see that he focuses quite a bit in his stories on likening the kingdom to a wedding. And that people who were invited, they always found excuses not to come. Amen. Tonight I found a good excuse not to go. My workmates are going to be partying. They invited me because we finished a project and they're going to different breweries around town. And I told them, no, I have a class to teach. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't come in your party. I've got a better party. I was hoping they'd ask me what kind, but it's a spiritual party. Amen. Because when you come here and you hear a word, it can encourage you. It can lift you up. Jesus told this story about a king who threw a wedding, and the people who were originally called didn't come. They wouldn't come. So he had prepared the wedding, and it was ready, but the people who were supposed to come were not ready and made excuses. And there's this theme through the whole New Testament about a wedding, and I want to point out to you something interesting. John chapter 2, verse 1. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee." Now, most of the time when we have weddings, what day is it on? Anyone was married in the midweek? Well, you were. What day was it? Was a Wednesday? Okay. Anyone else married in the midweek? Most weddings, though, are carried out on a Saturday, right? On a Saturday. Well, we see in this wedding, we see that the Bible tells us something interesting. It tells us which day this wedding was. And I've said before, whenever the Bible tells us something that we think, well, it doesn't seem to add anything, there's a reason why it specifically says which day it was. Okay? And there was, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now, something interesting about this is, as I said, it was that it was in the middle of the week. Now, what's the first day of the week? So what day was this wedding? Tuesday. Isn't that interesting? Here we are on a Tuesday night. Amen. But it was the third day of the week that they decided to have this wedding. The mother of Jesus was there, and so it was a Tuesday. So it was the Tuesday wedding. Who knows? Wouldn't that be great if you know, I'm trying to inspire you. The rapture can come at any time. But we see a little theme through Scripture that I want to show you about the third day. The third day. It's very interesting why Scripture keeps repeating about the third day. It was the third day after they came to Sinai that the law was given. Exodus 19:1. I was teaching about that a couple weeks ago. It was the third month. Anyone probably don't remember the name of the Jewish month. We know what the Passover started on, right? Everyone remember that one? Nisan. Right? Nisan 14th. Very good. And then the next month was called Iyar. And the next month was called Sivan, which meant what? What did I say it meant? It was Pentecost, but what was the month Sivan mean? Covering. Remember I taught that? Covering. Covering. God gave his covering during that month, which was the Holy Spirit. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day, that means it was the beginning of the third month, came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And then God told them something interesting. Be ready against what? The third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down. Isn't that interesting? We see that the marriage in Cana was on the third day. And we see that when they came to Sinai, God told them, when you get there, on the third day, I'm going to meet you. Interesting. It was the third month, and it was the third day of the month, of the new month, that God said, get ready. Get ready. There's a wedding. There's a meeting happening. There's an appointment happening. The Lord will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. You see, there's something, a theme in Scripture about the third day, that it is a day of meeting and of miracles. So it's great that we have Bible study on the third day of the week. Look at this, 2 Kings 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, if you remember this story, the Assyrians had brought a huge army of more than 200,000. They had destroyed many places in Judah, and they now surrounded Jerusalem. And they sent a letter to Hezekiah threatening him, saying, this is what we're going to do to you. But you know what Hezekiah did? I preached that, didn't I? He took the letter and he took it to the temple of God. Amen. And then as the prophet was going out, said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. Now, can you guess which day this is going to happen on? I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee when? Do you see a pattern happening here? Isn't this interesting that there's something special about the third day? God seems to use it as a pointer that he told him, listen, on the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Interesting. We know that what happened on the third day after Passover, don't we? What happened? Jesus arose. The Bible says there was an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down and rolled away the stone. But you know what? He was only rolling away the stone to show Jesus was already gone. He wasn't letting Jesus out. Jesus didn't need anyone to let him out. He only rolled away the stone for us to see that the tomb was now empty. But what I'm trying to show you is something very interesting, that there's something in the Bible about the third day. It's a day of miracles. It's a day of blessing. It's a day of meeting. So who knows tonight? You may have come here depressed, down, maybe sick, worried. It's the third day. It's the third day. There was a marriage in Cana on the third day. The Bible told the priest to go tell Hezekiah, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. When? On the third day. See, the first day of the week was a Sunday. Second day of the week was a Monday. The third day of the week was a Tuesday. The Jews didn't have names for their days. They just had them numbered. So we see that on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. That's where we are tonight. Isn't that wonderful? We're in the house of the Lord on the third day. So if something is going to happen, it can happen tonight. You can have your deliverance tonight. Amen. I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I'm going to heal you. When? On the third day. I want to point out this to you, that this is very interesting that you may never have noticed about the third day. All through Scripture. All through Scripture. Let's go on. In Esther 5:1, when Esther got her deliverance, when she went before King Xerxes or Ahasuerus, now it came to pass on the third day. It was the third day, because remember, she'd been fast. She told the people to fast for what? 3 days. On the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court, and the king extended the scepter. That meant he was going to grant her deliverance, grant her blessing. Do you see a pattern developing here? Do you see something interesting about the third day in Scripture? Now, it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. See, you know the story of Esther, that Haman had came up with a plot to destroy all the Jews that were in Persia. He had gotten permission and letters from the king to destroy them. And it's celebrated today on Purim. But this is where we get Friday the 13th being a bad number from, because it was on the 13th day of the month that he was going to rise up and destroy all the Jews. But when Esther was told by her uncle Mordecai, listen, you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. She said, okay, well, I'm going to fast. And on the third day, I'm going to go before the king. I want to show you how the Bible is telling us something here. The third day is significant in Scripture because not only is it a meeting place, it's a day of deliverance. It's a day of healing. It's a day of lifting up. It's a day when God told Moses, listen, I'm going to meet you on Mount Sinai on the third day. What I'm telling you that we are on the third day. This is where we are. The Bible says a day is as what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Well, how many years has it been since Jesus was crucified? Roughly, anyone? What's the date today? 2017. Well, let's say Jesus was crucified about 2032, right? So we are right at the close. If 1,000 years is as a day, we're at the close of the second day. We're almost at the beginning of the third day. Do you get that? Do you understand that? He said, on the third day, the people are, I'm going to come down and I'm going to meet you on Sinai. It was the third day that he went to the wedding in Cana, a wedding feast. It was the third day that he told Hezekiah, listen, I'm going to heal you on the third day. It was the third day that Esther went before the king and he extended his scepter and she got deliverance. So I'm glad we're meeting tonight on the third day of the week. Because if something can happen, it can happen tonight. Amen. You may have come here depressed and all down with things, but I'm telling you, on the third day, miracles happen. Big things happen. Now it came to pass on the third that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. It was the third day that the Jews got deliverance over Haman. So God is showing us something interesting about this day. Verse 2 says, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor. It's a day to obtain favor from God. It's a day to meet God. It's a day to obtain favor. Esther the queen standing in the court, and she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Do you know what would happen if he didn't hold it out? She would be killed. Nobody could come before the king uninvited unless he held out the scepter. But because she had prayed and fasted, and on the third day, God gave her favor. I'm telling you, the third day is when we get favor. If you understand what I'm saying, this is now 2017 from Christ's birth. But from the day of Pentecost, it's almost 2000. We're almost at the end of the 2000th year. We're almost at the third day. I'm going to show you what that means in Scripture. Let's go back to the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And there was, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now let's go back to the Old Testament and look what it says. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. This is what's happening now. That's the message of the church. Revival. In the third day, what will he do? Raise us up. And we shall do what? Live in his sight. This is a prophecy of what's about to happen. See, we've been invited to a wedding. Get your invitation. Get your wedding garments on because the third day is about to start, is about to dawn. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In the third day, he will do what? Raise us up. And what's going to happen? We're going to live in his sight. That's exciting. Because if you look at all these scriptures and you look at the timing and you look at the prophecy, we're almost at the beginning of the third day. Amen? We're almost at the beginning of the third day. Now, when he told the parable of the wedding, he said, many were called. But you know what? They all had their excuses. Well, I'm busy. I got to do this. I just got married. I got to go and look at this land I just bought. They all came up with excuses to attend the wedding. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen. Let's look at this in a little bit more detail. John 2:2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. In another parable about a wedding in Matthew 22:10, in the same chapter, He's speaking about the fact, so the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. You see, as I've been teaching about the Feast of Pentecost, that was the harvest of which grain? The wheat. Wheat. Remember, barley was Passover. Pentecost was wheat. And remember now, the loaves that were baked for Pentecost, they could be baked with leaven, with yeast. That means you come as you are to Jesus. You don't have to try and get yourself cleaned up, because in truth, we cannot. He will clean you up. But you have to come with a true heart, a true repentance, and truly submit to God, and then He will clean you up. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. But here's the interesting thing, because God sets this up. Today, when we have a wedding, and you're asked to stand up in the wedding, that means you're going to have to go and do what? You're going to have to go get yourself a suit, right? You have to go down to men's, wherever it is, warehouse, and you're going to have to pay for your suit. If you're a man or if you're a woman, the bride has chosen her colors, right? And if you're in the wedding party, that's what you're expected to wear. Don't show up with some other color and you're in the wedding party, because you're going to upset the bride and groom. You're going to mess up their beautiful wedding by you coming in your own colors, right? So you're supposed to wear the wedding garment. Now, in Jesus' day, and the custom back then, today, when you're asked to stand up for a wedding, that usually means you're going to have to pay up. You're going to have to go pay for your tux or your garment. But in those days, it was very expensive to have a wedding, because you had to give the wedding garments to the guests. You had to give the wedding garments. So we see in this story, somebody came in and decided they didn't want to wear the wedding garment. Didn't want to wear the wedding garment. They try to put on their own garment. You can't get to the wedding with your own garment. We need the righteousness of Christ. Our own wedding garment, our own righteousness will not cut it. Will not cut it. We see that the Bible speaks about that, about the church, the bride of Christ that is arrayed in a wedding garment. In Revelation 19:8, it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Sunday I was talking in Bible study about separation, right? About holiness. She should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. If you overcome, he said, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Amen. That's so amazing that God has prepared the wedding garment. We have no excuse not to get dressed for the wedding. We have no excuse to say, well, we can't do it. Well, I was tired. I worked all day. We all did. But some people will not make a sacrifice, amen, even for their own benefit. They don't realize it, that this is a special wedding. This is the wedding of the year, the wedding of the century, the wedding of eternity. This is not one to miss, amen. And not only that, you don't have to go buy your tux. You don't have to get your own suit, because the wedding garment has been furnished. The wedding garment has been furnished. Romans chapter 3 verse 21 says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, that means is made plain, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. All it takes is for you to believe and then act upon that belief. You see, lots of people believe or say they believe, but they don't act upon that belief. But if you put actions behind your faith, the Bible says that you can be saved. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. That's what the scripture says. See, in the parable, the wedding garment had been provided, so there was no excuse. No excuse. And there was a cost for this wedding garment. I don't know It's been about 2 or 3 years since I had to get a tux, but it was up there, wasn't it? Like, I don't know, $100 or $60 or something like that for a tux. But this had been paid for. This had been paid for. Now, in the Old Testament, generally, there was a price for a slave or for a life. Anyone could guess what it is? It was in silver. 30 shekels of silver, right? We see that even in the Old Testament, that was the price. So this wedding garment was expensive. It cost something. Romans 13, 14 says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." See, when we put on that wedding garment, we want to make sure that it's spotless. Today I was in a hurry for work, and I grabbed a white shirt like this, and I really didn't look at it carefully till I got to work, and I realized that I had some gum in here that had melted and messed up this pocket. So I had to stay at work all day with this, you know, with the gum all melted in my pocket. So first thing I did when I came home, because I knew I was coming, I got to change my shirt. Amen. You see, once we put on that wedding garment, it's our responsibility. Once we have put on, you know, they say, once you buy it, you own it. Right? We got to keep it clean. It's provided to us free, but we don't have to take it everywhere to get it all messed up. Right? We don't go into places where we know it's going to be messed up. In fact, I don't know what women do, but I can only speak about a man. If I know that I'm going to be going somewhere and I want the crease in my pants to be, I don't put it on until the last minute. Right? Because if I'm going to be going somewhere and it's all going to be crushed up, right? So if God has provided the wedding garment, it's our responsibility to keep it clean. We can do that. We have to put on that wedding garment. And the Bible tells us that that wedding garment is really Christ. But put ye on the Lord Jesus. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to get you guys involved now. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we put on Christ? Baptism. The Bible speaks about we are baptized into Christ. Because when we went down in that tank, there was a name set up upon our baptism, right? We were baptized into Christ. We had a name change. Anyone know what's the most common name in the whole world? If I limited it to the English language, what's the most common last name in the whole world? Brown? That's not the most common last name in the world. Actually, it's Smith. Smith is the most common in the English. Now, if you expand that to the whole world, it's not Smith. Anyone guess what the most common last name in the whole world is? No, it's not Howard. Actually, it's Indian. It's Singh. S-I-N-G-H. But you know, there's one that beats that. Jesus. Because when you are baptized, you take on his name. The Bible says, after whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we get into a new family. We are baptized and we put on Christ. That's putting on the wedding garment. Now, the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from evil. That means we've put on the wedding garment. We got to make sure that we don't get it all messed up. We can't go any place with it that is going to be dirty. So although the wedding garment was free to us, it wasn't free, but it was free to us. It is our responsibility to keep it clean because the wedding's coming. The third day is coming. He said in Hosea, on the third day, I'm going to raise you up and you're going to live in his sight. See, that's why Jesus told us the stories in the New Testament about the wedding on the third day. It was all a symbol of what he was going to do. Hallelujah. Now, I told you there was a cost for the wedding garment. Now, it didn't cost us anything, but it cost Jesus something. And we see this reflected in the Old Testament because it was 30 pieces of silver, right? And in the Old Testament, we see someone who portrayed or elements of what Jesus was going to do. His name was Samson. And his name means like the sun. in Judges, he was going to get married. In the book of Judges, right? He was going to get married. And he needed to do what? Provide some wedding garments. Let's look at this. Judges 14, verse 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if he can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast. And find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. To get the 30 changes of garments, people died. There was a death. Because that's what Samson did. Someone died to provide the wedding garments. It cost Samson the lives of 30 Philistines. I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If he can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. Let's look at the cost here. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and he slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Now, watch. Look at where this 3 days comes in. Judges 14:14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not, in 3 days, expound the riddle. I don't know if you see the association. It's coming. What I'm telling you is, we're on the dawn of the third day. We're on the dawn of the third day. That scripture in Hosea is about to be fulfilled. It says, on the third day, I'm going to raise you up. God has been dropping us little breadcrumbs throughout the Old Testament to let us know the marriage feast is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. He's even told us which day. It's on the third day, whenever that is. On the third day, I'm going to raise you up. It was the third day that Cana, in the marriage in Cana, it was the third day that he told Hezekiah, in 3 days, I'm going to heal you. It was on the third day after they came to Sinai, he said, I'm going to come down and meet you. Amen. And it was on the third day that Samson provided the wedding garments because they could not at that time solve the riddle. Let's go on. Revelation 19:9, and he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you got your invitation? Have you got your invitation? Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. See, what we are doing now is to announce there's a wedding. There's a wedding. And the thing is, all are invited. You don't have to try and gate crash. Everything has been prepared. But some people, they have their excuses. Well, I just got married. Well, I just bought some land. Well, I just got some animals I got to look. Everybody's got their excuse. But the third day is only one day. After that, it's not the third day anymore. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not ready, in the parable of the virgins, the Bible says the door was shut. It was closed, and it was too late. It was too late. What the Lord told me is, get them ready. That's why I'm teaching you this tonight. Get them ready. Get them. You know, the Bible says that in Peter that we've been hearing about the rapture from the fathers went asleep. Anybody who's been to church at all, you've heard about the coming of the Lord. Same as in the days of Noah. For 120 years, they heard about it was going to rain. They saw this man building a boat in the middle of nowhere. And after, I can imagine, 80 years or so, they were laughing him. And after 100 years, they were still laughing at him. Even when he finished it, they were laughing at him. But one day, something hit someone in the head. And it was some water. Where did that come? There is going to be such a time on earth such as never was. That's what the Bible predicts. And that's why we have to be ready for the third day. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I want to go back to this slide here because I think it is so prophetic. Hosea 6:2. After 2 days will he revive us. That's why we're in the latter rain. That's why the church has really started to blossom since Azusa Street, because we're on the tail end of the latter rain. He said, after 2 days will I revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. And what's going to happen? We shall live in his sight. I don't know about you, but I'm excited because there's a marriage about to happen. Amen? There is a marriage supper about to take place. And I'm telling you that there is something significant about it being the third day. And so I'm kind of glad that we have Bible study, that we have service on the third day of the week. Amen? Sunday being what? The first day? Monday, the second day. You're here tonight at a special number as far as God's concerned, because we see it's a significant day when God said, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to raise you up. Amen. There's going to be a marriage on the third day. I haven't calculated it exactly, but let's say Jesus was crucified in AD 32. So if he was crucified in AD 32, the Bible says a day is as what? 1,000 years with the Lord. So sometime in the next few years, when I say few years, I'm talking less than 20, we cross over into the 2,000th year since Pentecost, third day. Now, he also said something else. He said, I'm going to have to shorten the day. Right? Didn't he say that? He said, I'm going to have to shorten the day, lest there would be no flesh left alive. Because Satan knows the prophecies too, so he's mad. He's trying to destroy everything. So don't count on it being 15 years. He said, I'm going to have to shorten the days. I'm going to have to make them shorter, because if I don't, there'd be no flesh left alive. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you, it's time to get ready. Because the third day is almost upon us. Amen. The third day is almost upon us. Get that wedding garment. Make sure it's all clean. Put on Christ. The Bible says we have got to be transformed, having our mind transformed and renewed. Hallelujah. We have to be in his image and in his likeness. We have to make sure that our garment is unspotted. It's like I was teaching Sunday about the high priest. He couldn't just walk into the tabernacle any old how. He had to have the beautiful priestly garments on. He had to have the anointed oil poured upon him. He had to be ready to serve. If he went in any other way, he would just drop down dead. Nobody could just go in there. They had to be ready. What the Spirit is saying is, be ready. Look up. Your redemption is drawing near. The things that we're worrying about, the things that are pulling us down, they won't matter if the rapture comes. They won't matter. I want to stand before the Lord and say, I told everybody. I said it over and over again that you were coming. And I want us to be ready. I don't know if you were here in Sunday school and you heard Sister Audrey's dream. Does anyone remember her dream? Yes, that's right. In her dream, the Lord told her 1 hour. 1 hour. You know, we've heard it so many times, it comes in one ear and out the other. But this world is spinning out of control. The Arctic is melting. Seas are rising. The weather is getting scary. This year, for the last 3 years, it's been record temperatures. Broken every year, it's been the world's hottest temperature. That's prophetic. The Bible says the sun was going to be 7 times hotter. Didn't it say that? It's in the book of Revelation. And yet, most of us are just drifting through life thinking, okay, I just have plenty of time. It's time to get serious. If that dream was from the Lord, in it, she was told, you have 1 hour. 1 hour. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. I'm not looking to pay my mortgage off. I told you that before. My mortgage doesn't get paid for, well, I just bought the house, so 30 years. So they can have it because I have a mansion. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said in John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going away to prepare for you a mansion. Now, if none of you have had a mansion, don't worry about it. You got one coming. Amen. I have been blessed to go into some mansions, to tour some mansions, you know, where they have marble and everything was gold. But that's not going to compare to heaven. That's not going to be compared to the joy that is going to be revealed, the Bible says. We have to hold on, saints. Don't let the devil deceive us with little things. Don't let the devil drag us out of church over foolishness. Don't let people get us down and take our mind off the focus. What was preached, that we have to chew the cud, right? We have to chew the cud. The word that you got Sunday, remember it. I don't know how many can still remember what he preached on Sunday, right? All right. You see, we let the word come in and then we let the devil steal it. What I'm trying to tell you is it's almost the third day. There's a wedding about to happen. Do you have the wedding garment on? Is it clean? You know, when you're getting ready for somewhere special, you make sure and you give the clothes out to the dry cleaners. Right? I'm the only one that does that. And then when you get it back, you look at it to see if they got out all the marks, right? And you examine it to make sure. I'm so glad I found a really cheap dry clean place. $2.75. Okay. Amen. Amen. Come see me later. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise up. I'm going to go to the continue where I was going. So it cost for the wedding garment. We'll see that Samson, it cost him 30 people's lives to get the wedding. It cost Jesus his life to provide for you the wedding garment. It's free to us, but it was not free to him. He had to be willing. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became... To me, actually, that was the greatest thing that Jesus did not want to do. It wasn't so much the nails, though that was bad, the whipping, all the torture, but it was the fact that he had never experienced in his humanity what it felt like to have sin applied. And not just my sin, not just your sin, but every single sin. That was, to me, the greatest torture that Jesus did not want to face. When he said, please take this cup, it wasn't so much the torture of the nails, but it was the Bible said he was marred beyond recognition. He was disfigured. The sun hid. That's what he paid the cost for you to be able to put on the wedding garment. Or to say, I'm not coming to the wedding, I don't care. The third day is coming. Third day is coming. The servants have already announced, sent out the invitations, given you the garment. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, both my parents have gone on to be with the Lord. And I told you that although I was very sad, and there are times when I still think about it, I did not weep as them that have no hope. I did not sorrow as them as have no hope, because I expect to see them again. Amen. He is going to raise us up. If you die in Christ, the scripture, in fact, in Revelation, blessed from this point on are the dead in Christ. They have gone on to receive their rewards. But the only way you're going to get into this wedding is if you put on that wedding garment. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In Matthew 8:11, he said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. See, he came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. They were the ones who had the embossed invitations already printed, but they would not receive him. That led a chance for us to get into this wedding. Amen. Anyone gate crashed a wedding? Went to a wedding you weren't specifically invited? Kevin is laughing. No? Nobody went to a wedding where you really didn't know the people? Let me tell you this, that ain't happening in heaven. Because you know what he's going to say? Depart from me, I know you not. To another group, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You aren't going to be able to gate crash this wedding. No, sir, that will never happen. There's people that do that. They see a wedding and nobody knows anyone at a wedding. They think it's with the other group. And so they just join in and start and eat and have fun. People do that. Because no one's going to question them because they think it's they're with the bride, or they think they're with, but in heaven, that isn't going to work. He's going to know you, and he's going to know your name, Sister Johnny.
You know, it's so amazing because I've been speaking to the Lord to ask him, what do he want me to do? And this morning he said, get up and go tell the people I'm coming.
Amen.
And so I went to McDonald's and I started to just speak in a tone where people could hear me. And I got this one lady's attention, and she said, that's so amazing, because I was asking God, you know. She said, I know I need to go to church, but I didn't know where to go. So I gave her a card and I invited her. And I realized that it was three people I ended up talking to in McDonald's this morning. And this one man, he was an older man. And he said, I believe in God. You know, and he said, you know, I know God exists. He said, but I just don't want to go to church. And he said, I've never been to church. And so then I was able to just tell him the truth, because he didn't want to go to church. So I told him, I said, you know, and he said, I know Jesus came and I know Jesus died, and he was talking in the natural. And so I had to let him know that this thing right here about Jesus is not about the natural.
Amen.
This is about spiritual. And I asked him the question, like, why do you really believe that Jesus came and died on the cross and shed his blood and was beaten and all of this? And so he began to think, and I began to minister to him. And I was there for about an hour. And he said, you know, he said, I've never heard anybody just explain it to me like that. And I told him, I say, you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, or else you're not going to be able to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And he gave me this look. And I just continued to talk to him. I wasn't going to be deterred by what he was looking at me like that, because I know that his soul need to be saved, because he's an older man and he's been around for a long time. And I told him, God has kept you all of this time. Why do you think God is continually sending people to talk to you? And I told him, his soul need to be saved.
Amen. 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 Sister Johnny, your church is McDonald's. That's your preaching point. That's your preaching pulpit. Amen. That's great. That's wonderful. Amen. Wherever I go, I try and have some cards. And wherever I go and I see, so I just try and let the Lord lead me to give out cards. And amen. And the last time was in the restaurant. That's why Anise is here. I just gave her a card and she said she needed a Bible study. So, but we are the servants. We are supposed to be going into the highways, the Bible said, and compelling people, letting them know. I've used this example many times. If I remember one time I was on 94 coming back from Detroit, and it was a snowstorm and a blizzard, and it was whiteout conditions. And of course, I was gripping the wheel like this, you know, because, and of course, there was an accident miles away. And of course, when that happens, you have a whole pileup. God was merciful to me. I didn't get in the pileup. I managed to get off to the side. But you see, when that happens, what you need to do is stop everybody else. And they can think you're crazy, but if you thought you were saving someone's life, you would run down the road and you'd be going, no, stop, stop. You'd be acting crazy. And they would think, well, that person's crazy. But they would thank you later when they understood that you just saved them from an accident. This is what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be telling people, and they will look at your belief and your faith if you mean it. They will see whether you believe what you're saying. And if you believe what you're saying, your witness will be so much more powerful, because when they see that you believe it, they will listen. But if you think of all the people who you know that don't even know that you go to church, right? That don't even know what you believe in. That always bothers me, that I'm going to stand before God and there's going to be someone who's going to be saying, I worked with you for 20 years and I didn't even know you went to church. Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't that be terrible? See, we are to let people know there's a wedding and it's on the third day. He's coming back. He's coming back. Is Audrey here? I thought I saw her walk in. Okay. Now, could you tell your dream again? That you had Sunday, that you testified Sunday. Please come up here, and if you could do.
So in the dream, I was in a hospital emergency room, and there were tons and tons of people coming into the hospital, and their heads were swelling with some type of fluid. and the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And so on the side of me, there was this big, tall man in like all white. And he looked and he said, we got one hour. So in that 1 hour, I had to try to witness to as many people and tell people that they needed to repent. And I was trying to get all these people to come over there because he was like, the rapture was in 1 hour. And it was so real. And the doctors were trying to stick these really long tubes into people's ears. And they were trying to drain the fluid off that way. And it wasn't working. They didn't know what was going on. But I was like, if all you have to do is repent, just come step over this line. All you have to do is come over this line and you'll be healed and you'll be saved. And some people did and some people didn't. And some of the people absolutely knew the truth, but they were making excuses as to why they didn't want to come over on the line. And it baffled me. I didn't understand. But right when the hour was up, my alarm went off and I had to get up.
Amen. So we are living in the season where we're almost at the third day. And as I've showed you, there are many more scriptures I could show you that have to do with the third day. And we are right at the beginning of the wedding ceremony. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. You know, all of the people were virgins. They all said, I go to church. I'm good. Nothing wrong with me. But five of them did not have the oil in the vessel. They just had it in the lamps. And by the time they decided to go and get it, the door was shut. I've been teaching about Passover, that the night they left, the instructions given to them that they had to eat standing up. They had to have their bags packed and ready to leave. In fact, the reason why it was unleavened bread was because they didn't have time to let the leaven rise. God gave them that pattern. Be ready to leave. Have your bags packed. Prayer breakfast. In fact, that is the theme of our prayer breakfast. I forgot that. It's what? Be ready? Are you ready? Isn't that something? I believe God is speaking to us, church, that a whole bunch of stuff won't matter that you're worried about if you get to the third day, Sister Shanita.
Me and Sister Michelle were hanging out yesterday. And God just put it on my heart. He has been putting it on my heart to like go out there and talk to some of those guys, but they're kind of rough on my block, and you know, I was afraid to. So I asked her, I was like, if you go out there with me, I'll go out there and talk to them. And so we went out there, and you know, I just pastor's teaching, and I was telling them about how they needed to be saved and how much God loved them. And you know what they had to do to be saved. And one of the guys, he was just so curious. I thought he would like reject what I was talking about and you know laugh at me. And the girl was like, that's nothing to laugh at. And so when I got done talking to the guy, he gave me a hug. And I know he's one of those guys out there that's you know selling drugs, but he was just really so interested in what I had to say, and he said he'd come out. And then we went and talked to this other guy and this girl, and they were listening, but you know it was like they were looking all around while I was talking to him. I was like, well, the Lord wants me to tell you that he is soon to come and what you need to do to be saved. And so I gave him all a card, and that was all really I could do. But the first guy, he is so curious, and you could tell that he is curious. And I would have never thought he would be a guy that would be interested, you know, in learning about the Lord. So he was like, you're going to see me. I'm going to pop up there.
Amen. Well, that is what we're called to do. It's to witness. And I want to encourage everyone. We're not trying to build a kingdom here. I don't even mind if they go to some other church. Amen. But we need to witness. That's what we're called to do. And whether they listen or not, that's up to God. All we can do is tell them that there's a God that loves you, but there is also a judgment that is coming on this earth. And it's coming soon. Amen. If you could stand with me, I'm going to be just 1 hour. How about that? 1 hour. We only have 1 hour. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's my word. You know that's my word. I've told you that before. That's my word that God gave me a long time ago. Come. That's all you need is one word from Jesus. You can walk on water. Even if it looks impossible. That's what he told Peter, right? Come. And he has said to all of us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what? I will give you rest. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We have a wedding invitation. And it's almost the third day. It's almost the third day. The pattern is there in the Old Testament. Yes. On the third month, they came up to Mount Sinai. And then at the beginning of the month, and God told them, in the 3 days, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to come down on Mount Sinai. I'm going to meet with you. Hezekiah, in 3 days, I'm going to heal you. Jesus said, if you destroy this temple, I can build it again in what?
3 days.
3 days. 3 days. So we've even been told kind of the day. Now, which of the Tuesdays it will be, I don't know. I'm just saying. But on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana. And Jesus and his disciples were invited. And we are also invited. The wedding has been furnished. The wedding has been furnished. There's so much more I could say about this, but I'm sticking to 1 hour. I want you to come out next Tuesday because I got more to tell you. If the Lord tarry, it'll be another third day. Wouldn't it be great if it's a Tuesday night when the rapture happens and we're in church? Imagine if we were in church when the rapture happens. We already got our mind attuned. It would just be to suddenly disappear from here and be in the throne room of heaven. What would that be like? One of these Tuesdays, maybe, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. So church, I'm telling you, I'm not setting any dates or time. All I'm telling you is what the Bible says, that on the third day there was a wedding, a marriage supper in Cana. He said, on the third day I'm going to raise you up, I'm going to revive you, and you're going to live with me. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. Let it inspire faith, O God, as we look for your soon coming. Lord, that we will be looking for your deliverance. Oh God, that we will have our bags packed, that we will be ready, that all the things that drag us down, all the little things that mean nothing, oh God. Lord Jesus, that we will get our priorities right, oh God, to make our calling and election sure. Lord, we just thank you for your power and your love.